Hi, we are the Three English Experts. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Dave.
I'm Birgit.
And welcome to this episode. Three English Experts is your English podcast to help you speak better English and create a positive and happy mindset for your English learning journey. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this episode. Today, we're doing another typical common mistakes that people make. These are very popular episodes, so we decided to record another one. We've all collected a few mistakes that we hear very often from our clients, and we're just going to go through them, and maybe there's something in there for everybody. Birgit, would you like to kick off with one of your mistakes that you hear quite often?
Yes, I will. Hello, everybody. What's coming up again and again in conversations with clients is when they talk about some time back from their childhood. And then usually in a sentence, something would come up like at this time. And in this usage, it's not correct because this will always be like here and now and very close to where we are and when we are. You might remember that even from school, this one and that one. So it's like contrasting. And that is a very great way of expressing even in times, in terms of times. At that time, when I lived in England, I could say, yeah, I couldn't think of learning or I didn't speak Dutch at that time. Yeah, Rebecca.
Yeah, I was just thinking the other one that connected to that is people get confused with, they always say in former times, meaning like, I don't know what they're translating actually, but there's a really German, and they would say it's not in former times, it's in the past. You just say in the past, we didn't have mobile phones, for example, in the past. And they often say in former times, and it sounds almost like medieval. So it sounds like really long time ago. I think, is it just damals they want to express? I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, but they often use that.
Yeah,
I just want to say, interesting, because in the past would be much easier to remember because when you teach the past, maybe they're looking for fancy wordings, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from, but I hear it a lot in former times. It's just in the past. At that time, like you said, or at that time.
Or in those days, that's what I wanted to add as well. So you have the that and the this, and then you have these and then the those. You say these days, so for now, and in those days for the past. Exactly.
Oh, I like that. Good one. Because I like
in those days, yeah.
I'm gonna say it. Because these and those is also not used, overly used for with learners, from learners by learners.
And just one last point. So it is in those days, but when you say these days, there's no preposition. It's just these days, everybody has a mobile phone. But in those days, nobody had a phone. So yeah, there is the in, but with the these days, there's no in. Just to make it a little bit more confusing.
Yes. Or you could skip it all and just say today or nowadays.
Oh, nowadays. That's another one. Yeah. Nowadays. Okay. Dave, would you like to carry on? Next typical mistake, common mistake.
I look a little bit what you often hear when people introduce themselves. So the one of them that you have is, for example, the overuse of the present continuous, the ing. So I am living, I am working, all these things. But because it's something that happens regularly or it's a fact, depending which way you want to look at it, then it has to be the normal present simple. So I live in Valencia, not I'm living in Valencia. If you use this form with living or something like that, it means a temporary thing. And then you wouldn't say living, you would say staying in that context. But so living and working, please know the normal present continuous. I live, I work, because they are facts. And it's the same also for hobbies. Often you hear people saying, I'm playing football in my free time or something like that. Again, this is more maybe a fact or a routine habit. Then we use, again, the present simple. I play football. I go to the gym, not I'm going to the gym. So for hobbies that are regular or facts, you could always argue as well. So that's my first big one.
Okay.
Rebecca, yours?
Yeah, that is a big one, the ing one. But maybe I'll follow that with another ing point. So Dave talked about people overusing ing in the present tense, but I'm missing the ing in the future tense. So there is a future tense, sometimes called appointment future or fixed plan in the future, where we use the ing form, and it is present continuous, but we use it in the future. So tomorrow I am watching rugby with my husband, and France are playing Ireland tomorrow. It's a fixed plan. So it's happening. It's in the calendar. It's in the diary. It's happening. On Saturday, we are visiting my parents, something like that. Often people skip this form. I don't know if they don't really teach it at school or they don't focus on it at school, but people forget about it. And it's just really normal. It's really common. And they tend to just go with the will. I will watch rugby tomorrow, or I watch. Sometimes they go back to present simple. Yeah. I watch rugby tomorrow, which no, I watch rugby often, but no, tomorrow I'm watching, or tomorrow we are going to the pub and we are watching France against Ireland. It's a fixed plan. Yeah, I'm missing the ing. So we've got overing.
Undering.
Oh, wonderful. Overing in the present and undering in the future. But again, it's one of these things. It's one of the first things you do at school, I think, this ing form. And then even later on, I have really advanced clients who still mix this up. So keep it in mind. Yeah, so Big, you have an ing one, right, as well, don't you?
I have an ing one. And just one more sentence to this issue, because it's one of the first things they learn in school. But the trouble is, I don't know how they teach you the ing form in England, but the future use of ing comes later and not in a context. And they do teach it, but there's no focus whatsoever. And it's not said in what situations so clearly. And I think you need to contrast it to will. But there's a episode on the future tenses where we do that. This is why a lot of people can never think of using continuous as a future tense. Yes. And I have an example. This is also a very often made wrong by learners. To be used to, and then it's a gerund construction with an ing, so another one that wants the ing here. So I'm used to speaking English almost every day. And it's very helpful, we said that before in some episodes, I think, to find some reference sentences for yourself that's true and repeat that in your head. And that will be easy to turn to when you come to a point in your speaking and then remember, I'm used to, and I know for 100% sure, I'm used to speaking a lot. Yeah. Rebecca, what are you used to doing?
I'm just thinking in Ireland now. I'm getting used. I don't want to make it complicated. I don't want to say I am used to carrying an umbrella every day. I'm definitely getting used to carrying an umbrella every day because it's raining like nonstop at the moment. So yeah, I'm used to carrying an umbrella. Now I'm used to eating cheddar cheese because they don't have any other cheese here. Yeah.
Dave, another one.
But drinking the Guinness, you must be used to that.
I'm not used to drinking Guinness because I don't like Guinness. So
really?
No, I don't drink Guinness. Yeah.
Well, I'll swap. I'll come over and I'll drink Guinness for you.
Okay.
But give our listeners one more reference sentences to remember. Dave is used to doing what?
Oh, I'm used to now eating a lovely breakfast over here, which is like a bacon, lettuce and tomato. We have this in England, a BLT, but it's something similar, but it's a Spanish version in a baguette. And it's absolutely yummy.
Okay.
We're back to food. We always go back to food at some point.
Food and alcohol. I was going to ask you about the rugby, actually. It's the Six Nations for our listeners. Six Nations starting up soon, guys.
Plans starting tomorrow, actually on Thursday, which is a bit strange. But yeah, starting, France are playing Ireland tomorrow night. Yes.
So it's in France then, obviously.
It's in France. It's not in Ireland. It's in France tomorrow.
So this is the beginning of February. We are recording now.
Right,
You won't be sitting there in your costumes. Carnival is coming up here. No, Nobody's going to dress up. No, only Big fan costume.
Big is dressing up. Carnival. Okay, next one. So Big had a used to doing. Dave, you've got another one?
Yes, of course. So before I talked about with the overuse of ing, so I'm living, I'm working, maybe linked up to that. Often when you want to introduce yourself, you also want to say maybe how long you have lived or you've been in that place or you've worked, or maybe you with a partner, your wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it might be. And that's then leads me to the next one. So this use of the word been when you want to talk about a period of time. So you could say, I've been in Valencia instead of lived. You could say lived as well. But I've been in Valencia now for 4 years. I've been with the company, and it keeps it very simple. I've been with the company for 4 years. And if you want to talk about your partner, you could say I've been with my wife, or I'm with my husband for however long. And then last one, also with the hobbies. So you can use that with this little phrase, I've been into football all my life, or I've been into rugby, or whatever it might be. So this little phrase, I've been, and then with the period of time, that's the easiest way. So 4, 2 years, 5 years, 6 months, 2 weeks, whatever it might be. Be careful with the since. So people translate out of the German, put the since in, and then the duration. But that is unfortunately a wrong one. It should be 4 plus the duration, the period of time, or since with a specific date. And that often confuses the mind even more. I would recommend just use the I've been, whatever it is, and then the 4 and the period of time. Everything else, forget, please.
Beautifully explained. I love that. And for listeners who find that difficult, please repeat now. Turn back, listen to it again 3 times. My advice.
It's a good phrase, though. It's true, because it sounds very authentic. It sounds very naturally English. I've been with the company, or I've been into football all my life, or something. I think it's something that people don't always learn. And the key is to remember it's I have been, I've been, not I am. People want to do the be, but then they put it as I am into football my whole life. No, I've been into football my whole life.
And to get that into your head, that really changed something. It will. Yep. So if I can motivate learners, make the effort, it's really great once you master that.
I think it's all inspired now by that, yes. Okay, next one is mine. Just a quick one. This is mixing up when and if. I think, again, German speakers, because they're thinking of wenn, like falls, or if. I will cook dinner when I get home. And sometimes I hear this, if I get home. And that means, like, maybe I'm never coming home. I'm home. I will dinner. It's like, perhaps I'm not.
That's your I've threat. Heard that. Your threat to your partner.
If I come home tonight. Yeah,
I may not.
So if is really, there's a possibility it might not happen. Whereas when is, I don't know exactly when it will be. Maybe it's 8 o'clock, maybe it's 9 o'clock, maybe it's midnight. But when I get home, I will cook dinner, but I don't know when it is. If is really puts this unlikely, perhaps it will not happen. If I have time, when I have time, I will do that if I have time. That means maybe I will not have time. So if I have time, I will do that for you, but I'm not sure. I will do that when I have time. It means some point I will have that time, I think. So when I have time, I will do it is more of a fixed promise. But if I have time, it's like, who has time? Nobody. So probably not. It's not going to happen. So this when and if, when is it will happen at some point. We don't know exactly when, and if is
never happen.
Never happen. Going to happen. If I have time, I will, but it probably won't happen.
What do you say more often, Dave, in your private life?
If
you were laughing question. So hard.
He keeps his options open. If
yeah, definitely.
If I have time, I will fix the washing machine.
If you promise something, then
okay, you will.
If you say yeah,
and,
I will
and then
fix
you
the
break
machine.
Your promise. Not good.
I will fix the washing machine when I have time. Then she's waiting for you to find
exactly.
the time. If you say, if I have time, you never find that
okay. time.
Okay, Birgit, you have one more.
Yes, which is not really a mistake, but it's adding something to learner, because sometimes you hear, so she came in the room, or the cat went on the table. There's a nice little preposition I really like, and I want others to pick up, into. So you have die Bewegung to, go to somewhere, with the in or the on, onto, the cat jumped onto the table, so he now, or she came into the room. Would you think that's a mistake if people didn't say that? Does it sound weird?
It's not a mistake,
no.
But I think, like you say, she came in the room, but she came into the room. It does have a slightly different sound
movement.
To it. Yeah, exactly. She came into the room and then, or she jumped onto the table. It is different, isn't it? To just saying she jumped on the table. Yeah, just like you say, it's just that bit of movement, and it's just another option, I suppose. Yeah,
and I like it. Yeah,
yeah.
And people don't know,
mean, yeah.
don't know so much about it.
Yeah, now listening to that, I can hear people saying that. My clients saying, not say into and onto, that they avoid that. Actually, I don't think I've ever actually thought about that before. So thank you for pointing that out, Birgit.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Dave, last one.
Yeah. We talked about maybe partner or friends and then meeting them. We obviously have the phrase in English to get to know somebody. And this is an important one as well. When you want to say, for example, when you got to know somebody, then we have to say it with the we form. So we got to know. And then often the Germans would think about it and say, okay, we got to know us. Okay. And that's the mistake that people often then make. So we got to know each other. After the we, you can't have the us. We need the each other instead. And we also have this in other situations. For example, if you want to talk about how regular you see somebody, again, because it's the we, you can't have the us. So we see each other every day, or we don't see each other very often. And the same final thing with the us, I often hear people say, okay, Dave, we'll see us on Tuesday, or something along those lines with the us. It's either we'll see each other on Tuesday as before, or you could just say, see you on Tuesday. That's the other version. Yeah. This you of we and us does not go together. It must be we and each other.
Yes, is there a rule? Because now I'm thinking it's never been that clear to me. Thank you very much. We and us, never a plus. Could that be a rule? Like if and could.
That sounds sexy.
I don't know. Yeah. Be careful there. When you start making big statements, somebody will go, no.
Yeah, yeah. And it might not be 100%, but
we.
Yeah, but that's easy to pick up. We and us, they don't go together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do the last one. I'm going to change my last one now based on Dave's comment. I was going to do something else, but we can leave that for another time. Thinking about ken and learn and get to know and meet. Now, this is another thing I think gets really confusing. You can just say that people often say, how do I say, da haben wir uns kennengelernt? You know, like you would say, where did you meet? Where did we meet? Meet is not always treffen. Meet in English is also kennenlernen for the first time. So I met my husband while I was living in Frankfurt. That's where we met, uns kennengelernt. So yes, and then after we met, we got to know each other. We spent time together and we got to know each other. Mm-hmm. But there's also this kennenlernen, this just for the first time is also meet. So it's not just like, I'm meeting my sister tomorrow. It's also to meet someone for the first time. Have you ever met a famous person? Doesn't mean, did you have a meeting with them and sit down? It's just, have you ever met? Just means said hi, or even just for 2 seconds, you've met a famous person. I think this meeting and getting to know is more specific. Have you ever got to know a famous person? That means I spent time with them and I really kind of got to know that famous person. But have you ever met? Just means I said,
say hi, shook the hands.
Rebecca is going to meet soon.
I'm so excited. Yes, Brad Pitt is staying down the road from us at the moment and everybody knows about it. So I think he's probably hiding in his house. Yes, I am keeping my eyes open, looking under my umbrella at every opportunity in case Brad is nearby.
So is your dog getting extra walks at the moment then, Rebecca?
The dog is getting extra raincoats. Poor guy, he's Spanish. He hates this rain. He's just not impressed at all. So no, just goes into the garden, comes back. He's sitting now with his head on the radiator, literally.
She might need to learn to swim. Well, she might just be able to swim anyway.
He can't swim.
Oh,
no. Does not go in the water. I'm convinced he would just sink. People go, oh, it's instinctive. Dogs can swim. No.
Impossible.
I think he would just go sink to the bottom. Anyway, what was he talking about? Yes, met, ken and learn, and get to know. So you can say both. I met my husband while I was working at blah, blah, blah. People confuse that, right, Birgit?
And get to know is a vocabulary people often can't come up with.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we got to know each
Very
other.
Very useful.
Mm? Yeah.
And it's each other, not us.
Yes.
Wow.
Dave's each other and us.
Wow. Sit down now. Yeah.
We had a lot of content there today, guys. Lots of nice tips. Dave is now going to give us another one, right?
Absolutely. The Golden Nugget. So if you liked the mistake stuff, guys, if you sign up for our newsletter, we will send you out our PDF with the 50 golden nuggets. And one of them is nugget number 10, and it's all about silent letters in English. Okay, so often when you speak English, maybe there are words that you say and somebody is listening to you and maybe looks funnily at you. If, for example, you say mortgage, or if you say doubt, it's difficult for me to say because I don't say it this way, but these letters are actually silent. So the T in mortgage is silent, and the B in debt or doubt is also silent. So it's just a nice video that gives you all these different silent letters that you have in the English alphabet and runs through some examples of them. So it's a nice little video to learn about the different silent letters in English in a very simple overview. The video is therefore not so exciting to watch or to listen to, but it gives you all the information and the most common mistakes or silent letters that you have in the English language.
Well done. And next time we are going to talk about how to introduce yourself and how to talk about your job. And I give you another picture, maybe an image to think about, because Rebecca talked about this when her husband got asked on a party, what are you doing in Frankfurt? So we'll be coming back.
You remember that?
Yeah. Was machst du denn überhaupt hier so?
Yeah, genau.
He was asking for the job. What do you do?
He was like, it's my house. That's what I'm doing.
That's my house. Okay. Even worse. Yeah. And you want to avoid these things so you can train. And we thought introducing yourself in meetings, online, wherever, talk about yourself and in a job. That's something you could do with anyway. Yeah. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening today, guys. Just to let you know, we have another workshop coming up very soon. On Friday the 17th of April, we are doing another online workshop. It's going to be 4 or 5 hours, small group, and you will be doing grammar with Birgit. You'll be doing communication with Dave and mindset and motivation with me. You'll be leaving with a nice roadmap, personalized learning roadmap. And also, you do get 3 free sessions to our conversation club. So it's a really good deal. We're offering this for €329, which is a really good deal. So you've got the full day workshop, you've got your personalized roadmap, and you've got 3 sessions to conversation club. Head over to our website, 3EnglishExperts.com, and sign up now. We still have a few places left, and we would be happy to see you there. Thank you.